Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Raptors Over Everything, a podcast by Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Today is April 15th. It's the afternoon. I'm still fixated on game one. I've watched the tape too many times. I'm honestly driving myself a little bit insane. So I brought my buddy Josh into the studio to calm me down a little bit.
Well, happy to be here. First, congratulations on joining Yahoo Sports Canada. It's the first time I've been on your show since you moved.
Yes, exactly.
It's, you know, long way since the Dominion at Eglinton and Martin Grove.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's right. Rest in peace, Dominion, actually.
Rest in peace, Dominion.
I guess now it's just Metro. My little brother's now is just like, oh, yeah, you mean Metro? I'm like, nah, relax. I've been going to get wedges from there 10 years ago, all
the
right?
The wedges and the pizza. Oh, man.
Yeah. And then they got the Tim Hortons there. They really
and the LCBO.
Leveled up. Yeah, the
LCBO. This is deep Etobicoke content.
Very deep. Very deep. We're talking Lloyd Manor Road. Anyway, Josh, how did you... Okay, so normally we would watch playoff games together.
Yeah.
We've seen some doozies over the years.
Some awful, awful games. The first year was Bucks-Raptors out in the rain and the cold.
Didn't we see... Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We did see that game.
We saw that game. It was terrible. Kyle Lowry got outplayed by Matthew Dellavedova. DeMar DeRozan was awful.
Oh, my God.
JV, remember JV came out with... Let's score the first 8 baskets or something. Or 8 points. And then... garbage the rest of the, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Salute to showing up on Saturday. We appreciate you, JV, but come on, man. Last year in the basement.
No, hold on. There was also another game we saw 2017.
Was there?
Game 4. We bought very expensive tickets.
That's right.
To go see. We sat in the lower bowl. We went to see. Our buddy Chris was there.
Yeah.
And we went to see game 4 against the Cavaliers. That was such a terrible game.
It was bad.
When we were walking over from, like, I think it's like St. Andrew to whatever to get to the game, and I remember just us talking about how many points LeBron can get, and I was like, you know, if LeBron wanted to, he could probably get 81.
Yeah. And he
didn't need to, but if he wanted to, he could have.
Though, looking back, that was probably DeMar DeRozan's greatest playoff performance because the Raptors were down, like, 12 in the fourth quarter, and in any... You know, we're talking about action. Every other instance, they roll over and they give up. DeMar DeRozan went out, and I think they tied the game or were within two.
It was the classic fake Raptors comeback.
Yeah, but that one felt, you know, it felt like they almost did, like they really almost did it.
I remember, I don't think I booed Patrick Patterson, but like just to you and Chris, I was booing Patrick Patterson. Not out loud to Pat, just among us, because I think he also went scoreless, which... We'll talk about
speaking of Patrick Patterson.
Yeah,
thank you for the segment at the end of recap podcast.
Yeah, I told you, like, DeMar's gonna be too rude. We couldn't name after DeMar. DeMar had some playoff moments.
I agree that, you know, some fans would be upset to learn that we wanted to name a segment for a Raptors contributor who sucks in a playoff game to name it after DeMar DeRozan.
We had many choices though.
We did have many.
Yeah.
Gravis Vasquez. You remember when we really thought Gravis Vasquez was gonna show up in that Wizards series?
He did.
Did
kind
he?
Of. He did, kind of. I mean, how Gravis was like maybe the second best guard we had in that Wizards series. Because Lou was terrible.
Yeah, Lou was
And
really
DeMar
bad.
Was not good, but at least he was like DeMar bad. Like, he'll still give you inefficient 18
points.
That
was the series that really broke DeMar. The Nets series the year before, he did his best.
Yeah, that was mostly Kyle. Kyle's the reason that game went, that thing went to 7.
Agreed, but... Yeah. I think in the Wizards series, DeMar was it's when it really became dire.
I mean, once they figured out that they should put Otto Porter on him instead of, Even Otto Porter, Bradley Beal, didn't really matter. Just anybody other than Paul Pierce, it was over for the Raptors. But look, we're here to talk about game one, which, you know what, honestly, I went back looking at the film and stuff. I'm like, it's a little bit fluky than the Magic one.
Like, they shot like 50% from three or something.
It was silly. Like, the first off, the Magic, out of all 16 playoff teams, they shot the greatest three-point percentage.
Of the weekend, eh?
Of the entire weekend, which, you know, it's one game, whatever, things happen. But then even if you look down the stretch, there's like an MCW three,
yeah.
Wes Iwundu hit a three.
Mace Windu.
Mace.
Shout out to, what is it, Star Wars Episode 10? I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're terrible. Although I think Disney's going to milk another like 20 out of the series.
Wait,
now.
Disney doesn't own this podcast? I can't keep track of
I don't
sports
think so.
Media.
Not this one, but right. If so, redacted. But yeah, I mean, there was Jonathan Isaac made a key three, which
yeah.
I was watching. So I got to the game mad early on advice. Aaron Gordon made a contested three.
A contested three.
So, like, you know, but the thing was, the one that really hurt me the most was the Isaac three, because I was watching super early. Like, I got to the arena like 3 hours before tip on advice of Alex. He was like, yo, it's a playoff game. You got to go really early. So I was
slight
like, okay,
flex.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, Alex then showed up like an hour after that. Then he was like, why'd you show up so early? You know, classic.
Was he at Rolson?
No, he got a haircut. And I told him he looks like a Tencent reporter now. Like, yeah. Anyway, Tencent is basically Chinese ESPN.
Jonathan Isaac.
So I was watching Isaac shoot around, right? He's one of the first guys that came out. And I was looking and I'm like, this guy can't shoot? Because, like, I'm looking at the way his legs are bent. Like, his knees are touching as he's shooting. So he's forming, like, this triangle on the floor. And I'm thinking, like, man, I can't believe we're going to be that afraid about Jonathan Isaac shooting threes. And I honestly, he shot like 3 of 20, just like shooting around, like, you know, like those drills where you're like trying to make 5 from each spot,
where like professional athletes just hit everything because they're professionals.
Yeah, it looked like one of those like mascots tries to throw, you know, over the head half court shot kind of things. It was like that, and I was like, yo, this is definitely going to be one of those guys that kills the Raptors in crunch time. And yeah, he hit a clutch three, and it's like, you know, It sucks that it happened, but, you know, it was a little bit fluky.
Yeah, and some of Raptors' contributors played worse than you'd really expect them to. I thought Danny Green had a game about as bad as I think we'll see from him for the rest of the playoffs. Serge Ibaka was 2016 bad, and I think he has turned the corner in the playoffs. You know, it sucked. Like, I would, you know, was sitting in my living room angrily tweeting. And
how did you consume the game, by the way?
I was with my girlfriend. We were sitting in our living room. And I, like, rushed back to watch it because we ended up getting really busy. And it's like, oh, no problem. Like, we're going to get there. It'll be great. Like, I had a bit of a buzz. Like, we went out for brunch with another couple.
Yeah.
It's like, this is going to be great. I'm going to have a great time. Watch the Raptors.
That sounds blessed.
Yeah. Not blessed. Didn't work out that way. Danny Green started really poorly. Kyle was weird, but you assume that maybe, you know, he'll settle out. Kawhi looked awesome to start
the
game.
Yeah.
He hit his first three shots. Felt great. I was like, you know.
Yeah, playoff Kawhi. Oh, even Marcus
Open another
was
Ace
well.
Hill, you know. Just
okay.
Take it easy. But didn't work out that way. You watched at the stadium. When did it turn? When did Raptors, like, was it that second quarter? Was it like a 12-2 or 24-9 with a 12-2 segment run by the Magic that really? Because I could, you know, watching.
You know, I'm trying to think about it now. Like, I think emotionally, I was very calm throughout. Like, even when they got down, I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous, guys. Like, can you just, like, because there's plays, like, there's one play where someone got to the rim for a layup, and then there's four Raptors standing around, and I think, like, either Vucevic or Gordon, like, swoops in and gets the rebound, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, this is ridiculous. So, but then, like, they made that little, like, 8-0 comeback super quickly to end the second quarter. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. At halftime, I was like, it's annoying, but it's fine. And then, like, when they came out in the third quarter and they took back the lead, I'm like, this is normal.
Easy,
and they're just going to, like, kind of hold this. But then it was just, like, the Magic just kept hitting these threes. And, like, the Raptors, like, they weren't playing great offense, especially with that second unit. But
for sure.
It was like, all right, so, like, Kawhi's going to come back in eventually. And then I was like, why isn't Kawhi in the game? You know, it's like, all right, cool. So he finally comes in the game. And then when he does, he hits a couple baskets.
Yeah,
and you're like, wow, the Raptors are going to take this. You know, it was a little close for comfort, but, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, the Raptors just make a bunch of these errors. And it's one of those things where you, like after DJ Augustin hit the three, like, the entire press row just kind of looked at each other and collectively said, it really happened again.
God damn it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was crazy. You know, Alex was there looking like a 10-time reporter. He was out of his mind. And just before that, I was like, you know, basically laughing like a madman. Just after Kawhi hit that baseline jumper, I'm like, oh, look at this.
Why were we worried? Your 10 things were just looking blessed.
Yeah, I had to rewrite the whole thing.
Damn, of course.
But, I mean, look, listen. I think I'm feeling a little bit better heading into game two. I think, obviously, we could talk about Kyle and scoring 0 points. But to be honest, like, you know, if we're going to acknowledge it, like, objectively, like, putting aside all the emotions, like, yeah, they should be okay in game two. But Kyle.
Kyle Lowry.
It feels like the 0 points is a little bit long time coming in the sense that his game is just kind of regressed.
Isn't this, like, the second 0 point outing in the playoffs in this Raptors run? Or there was some statistic. Or no, it's his first one, because he scored 0 when he was on the, like, Grizzlies and the Rockets. Okay. The first time he scored nothing in a playoff game. I don't know if I saw this coming. I knew that he was not the key piece in the offense that he has been in previous runs, but it seemed like he was always a productive player, or still a productive player, that he wouldn't, you know, be able to do this, that, and the other thing, but he would be the kind of guy who, you know, picks off DJ Augustine midcourt and runs back an easy layup. And that's because that's how Kyle Lowry, when he was a 20-point scorer, he would get points even if he didn't have his stroke that night.
Yep.
That stuff was gone. It was actually the other way around. Evan Fournier stripped Danny Green like 2 times. It was insane.
Yeah, man. That one in like the last minute, like, really like 90 seconds left. And I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. So Kyle Lowry, I'm surprised. I don't think it'll happen again. It can't happen on Tuesday. If it does.
Well, if it does.
Him Listen. And Ben Simmons need to go into protective custody. They're going to hang out with Tekashi. Tekashi 6'9". They're going to all be hiding out somewhere in Phoenix, Arizona.
I don't even know how they're going to hide him.
Kyle?
No, Tekashi. That seems unrealistic.
This is a great segue.
He's got 18 tattoos on his face, and he's got rainbow
color
hair.
He's a rainbow hair and a 6'9". And
and his teeth are like augmented, too.
Jigsaw from Saw tattooed on his face.
Yeah, no, he's just got to go like full like the baby boy on... On us, like, just like wear a mask all the time and be like, and just play around with
a lighter.
Yeah, lighter. Yeah.
But Kyle'll be fine. I think he can't. Do you feel worried that he's gonna be barely a productive player for the rest of the playoffs, or do you think he'll bounce back, average 7 for the rest of the series, and keep it moving?
I think. Look, first off, I think Kyle was still productive in game one, right? Like, it's kind of going too far to say like, just because he has 0 points, he's unproductive.
I mean, the point of the game is to...
Well, I mean, he does do other things, you know? Like, I think the narrative has swung a little bit too far in terms of protecting him. It's like, look, his plus minus and things like this. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, you know, he still did other Kyle things, which is like fight hard for rebounds and like make a couple of plays for others. There was honestly, like, the Raptors shot a little bit better. I think Kyle easily gets the 10 assists, for example, and made a couple of defensive plays. But I mean, for the most part, like... I mean, the threes, like, that's the thing, right? If we look at it, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago even, he was a 20-point-per-game scorer, right? For sure. And then if you look to the way it is now, he's about a 14-point-per-game scorer. But then even if you just go to, like, a tough playoff series, like, I don't really feel entirely confident Kyle's going to score more than 10, which I know sounds really negative, but if you really look at it, right, when he was a 20-point scorer, he got, like, first off, he had the drives to the rim, which now he never does.
Can't do it.
He can't drive to the rim. Can't do it's it. Nick Vucevic down there. He's saying, no, I can't go on Nick Vucevic, all right? You know, so, okay, so you're taking away the drives to the rim. That used to be, like, 5 points a game.
Yeah.
You're taking away the little, like, remember he used to jump and then, like, throw his arms up into the defender? And they used to call continuation for those and get the foul calls, right? The Lou Williams call. They've obviously, like, legislated that out of the game for everyone except Harden nowadays, but...
He's not getting the transition. It's not him who gets to pull those transition threes. It's now Danny or even Fred, I think.
Yeah.
Fred will have the green light to pull up three on transition way more than Kyle does now.
Exactly. He's fully, like, looking to pass, right? So, like, you take away, like, 2 transition points a game. You take away, like, 2 free throws. You take away the 5 points off drives. And you're already down to 12. Yeah. And then it's really just, like, 3-point variance. And, like, this is the stat that's been kind of bothering me. Because I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, I know Kyle can shoot. I'm happy when Kyle takes a 3. But also, I'm not entirely confident. So I looked up the numbers between February and March, right? This is when they, you know, this whole story came out about how, you know, the Raptors analytic team, like, looked at the arc. They did that, like, you know, sport view stuff at the arc and was like, your arc's a little flat. Like, you should shoot a little higher. And it made some mechanical adjustments. He shot well. So between February and March, he shot 42%.
Great.
Between November and January, he shot 29%. And then, after Mitchell Robinson rolled over his ankle, so that includes 8 games of the regular season and also game 1 of the playoffs, he shot 26% from 3. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, Kyle, he runs hot and cold, really. Really hot and cold as a 3-point shooter. And when he's, when he's cold from 3, too, that's when you really see the dip to, like, I'm not confident Kyle can get to even 10 points in a tough playoff game.
Does he need to win the series, though? Does he need to for this team to make the finals? If he's a fourth option on offense, if we're going to rely on Kawhi and Mark and Pascal being a freelancer on offense, does it matter how well Kyle is, especially if he's able to move the ball?
I don't think it matters.
That's kind of what I want to see. I want to see that October, November, when Kyle is like leading the league in assists, you know, making even Russell Westbrook blush for a little bit there. That's the kind of offense I'd like to see Kyle facilitate. I think it helps guys like Danny, helps Norm, could help, probably
Ibaka.
Help Ibaka for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, we could talk about Ibaka too, because I think he was also among the most disappointing in game one. But yeah, I mean, I think Kyle, his playmaking is going to be there, but I think eventually, this is the thing that happens in playoffs, right? Like, teams are going to scheme. If you do something really well, like if Kyle finds Ibaka for like 5 mid-range jumpers in game 2, they're going to take away the mid-range jumper, and then all of a sudden it's up to Kyle to score again. And so, like, you kind of need all your players to be adaptive. And I think, and especially in the case of Kyle, like, you know, let's say the Raptors get past the Magic. Well, I mean, the Raptors will get past the Magic. But, like, well, after the Raptors get past the Magic, you know, against the Sixers, I think...
I mean, you mean the Nets.
Honestly, I think, you know, I know you're kind of joking, you're kind of trolling, but it's not unrealistic. I'll see how much Joel Embiid's knee is. Looks bad.
Yeah, it does look bad.
He looked terrible.
Amir Johnson. I know that there's something sincere going on, but come on, man.
No, come on. No Amir Slander in Toronto.
Please. No Amir Slander.
He handed out free copies of Nothing with the Same. That was a great album.
I agree. No, Amir Johnson, like, I feel like if you know, I believe his daughter's unwell, it feels very bad. But, like, don't let that look happen, because I want you in the league. I think you are I would love to see Amir Johnson in a Raptors jersey at some point to end his career as a big off the bench whose knees don't work. So stick around, and that doesn't happen if you get, you know, in trouble for having your phone out.
That was real unfortunate.
But I mean, so you're saying
how does that not happen, by the way, but like before, like to other NBA players?
It happens a lot in
because Amir is like a real, like, you know, like professional guy.
Yeah,
like,
that's
the thing. That's why it's weird that it happened to Amir, because like he's been super hardworking. There's no other way he's still in the league if he's not hardworking, a great vet.
Yeah.
But you would just think like Nick Young had his phone out at some point. You know?
Yeah. I don't know why that doesn't. Maybe they did just sort of catch it on camera sort of for a split second.
Yeah.
You think when the guys are in like their street clothes, they don't have their phone in their pocket? They must.
Yeah, of course.
LeBron's had his phone. Like, LeBron's probably been playing.
LeBron's got like 8 phones. Let's be real.
LeBron's playing Farmville on the bench next to Luke Walton, putting his resume on LinkedIn.
Oh, man.
Indeed.com. Are they a sponsor? Not yet.
I have no idea. All right. It's a big business. I'm afraid to talk about anything. I'm like, I can't. I don't even know if we could talk about ASO.
What, are we sponsored by Bud Light?
Yeah, probably. I honestly have no idea.
We only bank with Tangerine.
Is that true?
I don't.
It's a lot of free plugs on this. What was I going to say? Ibaka.
Ibaka. Yeah. You know, in my household, this weekend we called him Duolingo Patrick Patterson.
Okay. All right.
I know you had the interview last week, so you can't agree with me. Yeah. But it was bad. He did not look good. I know that the Magic scheme to keep those pocket passes Kyle likes to feed Serge with out of their game plan, and they did a good job.
Yeah,
but Serge has to do something else. Serge has to, you know, shoot more from deep. I think when he's in those strong side pick and rolls with Kyle, he needs to shoot, because that's what they're leaving for him.
Right.
He needs to do something.
I was looking over the film, and I can remember like every single possession from this game now.
Yeah.
But like, and it's not great. It's not a game that I want to remember every possession. But like, there's 2 possessions where Serge catches the ball at the 3-point arc, and I'm like, oh, great. He's going to go for the shot. It's like completely in rhythm or whatever. And then he puts it on the floor against guys like Aaron Gordon. And I forgot who the second guy was, like one of the Magic's random bench guys. And I'm just thinking, like, you don't need to do that, Serge.
No.
There's no point in doing that. And I think, like, you know, what the Magic did really well in game one was taking the shots that were the Raptors were giving them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, MCW wasn't like, oh, I'm open for 3. I'm going to drive. It's like, no, I'm going to take that shot. I know I'm trash at shooting, but maybe I'll go in, right? And eventually enough went in, and it was kind of like that tipped the scale. Whereas the Raptors, they had a lot of these open looks. And, like, Ibaka's not a great three-point shooter. We know that.
No.
But at the same time,
he has to take them.
Those are the shots. And the same thing for Kyle. Like, I think Kyle should take that mid-range shot, for example. Because that's open for him. Ibaka has the three-point shot open for him.
Marc Gasol needs to take more threes.
You know, these are all adjustments that I wrote about. This is a synergy portion of the podcast, all right? These are all adjustments that I wrote about on Yahoo Sports Canada. You can read that. The piece is called Three Adjustments the Raptors Need to Make in Game 2. You know,
brought
I talked
to you by Indeed.
Okay. All right. It's going to be so much editing that I'm not going to do on this podcast. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I think Kyle needs to take that mid-range jumper a little bit. I think, you know, I think Ibaka needs to fade to the three-point line a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they got to, like, play with the lineups a little bit more. And ultimately, like, we're dancing around this, but
Kyle needs to score.
Oh, no, not that.
Oh,
I mean, yes, Kyle definitely needs to score. But, you know, I'm not entirely confident in that anymore. But, Kawhi played 33 minutes.
Yeah, that's...
33 minutes?
Go off. Like, what? I know that Nick Nurse said...
Nick's explanation was terrible.
Yeah, Nick Nurse said, I mean, we tried to get him in, but the flow of the game, he was just sitting by the bench.
He was like, oh, man, I put him on the... You know, I checked him in. He's waiting to get ready. He's waiting to go in the game. And there just wasn't a stoppage in play. There's nothing I could do as a coach to stop the stoppage of play, to create an opportunity for me to sub him in.
And the game ended with the Raptors having an extra timeout. It's like Nick Nurse was waiting for the 50-50 draw winner to be named before he put Kawhi Leonard back in the game. It was ridiculous.
Man.
It was ridiculous. I don't know. Kawhi Leonard has managed his load all season long.
Yeah, for this.
For this.
Yeah.
Why... Were you 34 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
What explanation is there? If Pascal played, what, 42?
Pascal played 42, and I think that's where the thing really confuses me, because I also looked over the lineups from game one. I think this is how Blake lives every game. Like, in a random, like, Raptors-Bulls, like, Blake Murphy is just out
Shout
here.
Shout out to Blake Murphy, one of our sponsors for this.
Yeah, 100% Blake's a sponsor, but, like... Blake would, like, watch every game twice, take notes, look at the lineup data, crunch the lineup data. And I'm like, Blake, you don't need to do this for, you know, Raptors Heat in March. But yeah, I looked at the lineup data for game one. And one thing that really stood out for me was, like, Kawhi just didn't play much at power forward, right? Because, like, okay, look, you don't have OG.
Yeah.
So you got to play around. You got to extend.
Get well soon, OG.
Seriously, get well, man. It's been
a tough year.
Really tough year.
You're one of my favorite Raptors. And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, first of all, come on. You're a professional. But second of all, you're one of my favorite Raptors. Get well soon. It'd be great to see you on the court.
It would be.
But, yeah, without OG, you're seeing a lot of Pascal at four, and you want to see more Kawhi at four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kawhi played like 2 minutes at power forward, right? Like, am I defining power forward? I'm saying, like, no Pascal and no Ibaka on the floor, right? So, like, or no Ibaka or Gasol, basically, where Kawhi is the power forward. Like, yeah. He only played 2 minutes, and it's like, there just has to be more of that. I understand, like, they want to do these, like, little, like, you know, they want to get cute with, like, Ibaka and Gasol together, and you kind of have to do that a little bit.
For sure.
But, like, also, like, those lineups, like, they just look mad ugly, and I'm just hoping, like, there's no one's running that lineup. Like, nobody's running in transition, no. Right? So you're taking away a lot of your transition points, and also I just don't think they execute well offensively. Defensively, that lineup's fine, but it's not great. And then it's like, you know what? I just want to see Kawhi play more, and I think, obviously, we all agree that 33 is too little, but
way too little.
The one area he can play more is just put him out there with the bench as the power forward. And, like, just let him score. Like, literally just do the DeMar DeRozan ISO thing for, like, 8 possessions in a row. I'm fine with that. It's better than watching Fred, like, you know, try to Kyrie Irving his way to a layup. Like, it's, you know, I'd rather have Kawhi take a jumper over Wes Iwundu.
But don't you worry that having Kawhi Leonard in that DeMar DeRozan position exposes, you know, and it's come up a few times on this show and elsewhere, that Kawhi sort of lacks as a playmaker. And there were a few instances where you'll have, you know, Marc Gasol or Danny Green open in the corner, and Kawhi has not seemed to be able to make that pass. And I do not wish to critique this man, because he is cornrow Jesus,
yeah.
But do you worry that putting him at power forward and putting so much of the offense through him and Mark limits the playmaking for a lineup that I would imagine, if you're going to have Mark and Kawhi out there, you'd have Danny, Fred, and maybe Norm or Kyle, like shooters around them. And if you worry that Kawhi can't get them the ball, what's the point of having him at power forward unless you know he's, you know, red hot from in those ISO plays?
I just, for me personally, you're right. Like, I think the playmaking is going to be, especially if he plays with Gasol, at least I trust that Gasol can sort of move it around a little bit, and sort of make up for that little bit of a weakness. But I just think, like, realistically, even if he doesn't play make for others, like, it doesn't, it's still a better option to have Kawhi attack than, like, you play make and Norm Powell's open in the corner for three, or, like, Fred VanVleet's, like, doing something, you know what I mean? Or, like, Ibaka's doing something. Like, yeah, ultimately, I'm just looking for the most efficient shot. And I think Kawhi isolating a little bit, at least with that bench unit, is definitely the one option that I would go to and have confidence in above everything else. But, look, there's a lot of things we would like to adjust for game two. Realistically, though,
adjust the scoreboard, really.
That's all you got to do, right? Like, because, like, the Raptors, I think they played well enough.
They played a pretty good game.
They didn't play their best game. I think the Magic played pretty well.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's weird. Terrence Ross didn't get going.
Well, they trapped
neither
him.
Did Vooch, and those guys will have a game. So,
yeah.
I guess Raps in six. Like, it's losing that game and losing, I think, admittedly, a pretty fluky game where, you know, one team shoots. What did the Raptors shoot from three? Like 30%?
Yeah,
and
some close
the
to that.
Magic shot like 50%. Like, that's the game in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And as the series goes on, that'll sort of get closer to even. But I'd like to see the Raptors just play a more, you know, Raptors basketball, more like the team that we've seen for long stretches this season. Like, you know, even up until the beginning of the playoffs, the Raptors were playing really good basketball throughout.
It was real fluid, at least, that kind of basketball. And, like, game one was a little bit more skittish. I asked for Twitter questions. I got a lot of them.
Of course.
So let's just touch on a couple. First one from Lamar. Are we overreacting to Kyle's performance? He had 8 assists and 7 rebounds, and the team was statistically better with him on the floor. He brought to the game plus 11. How could you just overlook that plus 11 that he brought to the game?
What would he have been if he scored maybe like a plus 13? That'd be, if he was like a plus 50, and the Raptors win the game.
Man, when he missed those two free throws.
Disgusting.
I was like, yo, what's going on? Kyle, come on, man.
It was really bad. When he started just pulling up from Milton. Yeah. Shout out to Jack Armstrong.
Yeah, shout out Milton.
It was really rough to see because you knew that he had no confidence in taking anybody off the dribble. But, it was bad. I don't think, you know, this guy is the highest paid player on the roster, an all-star, the de facto team, like, captain in, like, spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who had the most of the stink of Raptors playoff performances.
He basically
past.
Has all of it now because they changed everybody else.
Yeah, it's him and it's kind of Nick Nurse, maybe, but that would be a little unfair.
Yeah, assistant Nick Nurse.
Norm kind of has some of the...
No, but Norm has a sterling playoff reputation from two games that he had.
I don't know why people think that. Like, outside of those
remember
games...
Remember when LeBron had to tell Norm, like, hey, listen, buddy, you gotta check in from this area of the floor? Like, that's honestly how Alex does when I'm at the arena. It's like, actually, the media room's this way, Will. Like, you're going into the dressing room by accident. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I think... You can't overreact when this guy's this important to your team. You know, Ben Simmons is getting it.
Mm.
The entirety of the Nuggets roster is getting it. When your team,
Westbrook gets it all the time.
Westbrook is a great player.
Dame got it last year when he got swept.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Yeah, listen. If you're the leader of the team, like, you got to take responsibility sometimes, right? And, like, I don't mean take responsibility as saying, like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, this is this. There's nothing to be sorry about. You missed some open shots. It is what it is. But at the same time, it's like, you know... First off, there's, like, some people are going overboard. Like, people are going on his Instagram and commenting and stuff, which is, like, that's messed up.
When that Kevin Hart footage hit Twitter.
I'm going to say, I knew that footage was out there, and then out of the goodness of my heart, I passed up on those RTs and faves because I didn't want that out there on Kyle's reputation, but it is fully available on YouTube.
And didn't Zubes retweet his brother? What's that guy's name? He's been, not Zubes, the guy from New York, works for Yahoo. His brother crap talks Kyle for 10 minutes and it hit the timeline. Kyle Lowry, he scored 0 points.
Oh, Zito. Yeah.
Zito. Sorry, oh, my guy.
That video was great, though. That video was really great. And to be honest, sometimes I would take Killer Kyle Korver over Kyle. You know, in a game like this, I'm sure.
King Killer Kyle Korver.
You tell me you give Kyle Korver 6 threes, he's not making one. But no, but like, you know, sometimes you just got to take the heat. It is what it is, man. You can't really excuse it a little bit. Here's the thing for fans, like, I get it. It's like you want to support the team. Our role is to support the team.
For sure.
At the same time, it's you can't just be the fans just get left holding the bag.
Agreed.
Right? The man scored 0 points. You cape for this man all the time. You're like, hey, man, Kyle had this like 62% true shooting in last year's playoffs, which no one else but Raptors fans know that stat. Off the back of the hand, like 16 points, 62% true shooting, right? Seriously.
Kyle, this podcast brought to you by...
I mean, like, same thing with 27. I was like, you know, the Kyle was actually, you know, low-key good, which is like, I watched those games, I'm like, hey.
But he's high-key bad when he scores 0 points.
He's high-key bad when he scores 0 points, and it's okay to let him have it for those games. It's okay.
I wonder.
Like, it is what it is. It can't just be the fans, like, holding the bag, being like, oh, wow, you know, he's going to be better next time. Like, yeah, we want that to happen, but do we believe that after 5 years, after 6 years? Not really.
So if Kyle misses his first two shots tomorrow night, do the fans let him have it in the stadium?
No, because Raptors fans aren't
too
like
respectful.
That. Not like that. And listen, we were there for Patrick Patterson when he had scored 5 total points for the whole series, and like we didn't. No one said anything.
But we didn't. I didn't shed a tear when he left to Oklahoma City.
No, that I was guy. Thrilled. I was thrilled. I was like, this is enough.
Do you remember the Zach Lowe? Big fan, but come on, yeah. Man, he campaigned for Sixth Man of the Year for Patrick Patterson.
Zach picks a couple of strange picks.
I think
every
he's
year.
Like, I'm a real smart guy.
That's I'll a galaxy use... brain tag right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a galaxy brain tag.
Patrick Patterson. What did he play yesterday against the Trailblazers?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
Raymond Felton still cutting in the NBA.
Raymond Felton. Yeah. Not bad. Not okay, a.
That's only because we've been watching Kyle score 0 points that we looked at Raymond Felton and said not bad.
Hey man. Me and Raymond Felton have the same waist size, and he's putting up buckets in an NBA game. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, seriously. Shout out to him. Yeah, I mean, Raymond Felton's honestly shaped like Rick Ross after he started eating pears.
Maybach music. Yeah, Raymond Felton's shaped like all he does is eat Wild Wing. It's great. And he's giving these guys buckets.
He's been in the NBA like 15 years. That's very impressive.
And still will have to, like, you know, change his diet. Like, his diet will probably improve when he leaves the NBA. His doctor will have to send him down and say, all right, Raymond, you're no longer, you know, running for a living. Here's a few 0 point Weight Watchers meals. Oh, man, I'm slandering Raymond Felton.
That's okay.
For no reason. Kyle Lowry, do better. We really want.
Yeah, Kyle, listen.
And I think fans want to see Kyle succeed.
Yeah, everybody wants to see Kyle
succeed.
Because
he's been here forever. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the reason this whole run.
Yep.
DeMar met his potential, maybe exceeded it.
He exceeded
a bit.
His potential, yeah.
But Kyle came out of nowhere. Kyle is the.
Yeah.
Kyle
was basically Raymond Felton, and all of a sudden he started playing like an all-star.
Yeah. I mean, Raymond Felton.
Yeah. Raymond Felton catching strays randomly on a Raptors podcast. This one from Mary. This is a great question. How do I stave off this existential dread?
Spend time with your loved ones. Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Get
a pet.
If you believe in a higher power.
Yeah.
Meditation's key.
I feel like your higher power.
Is this podcast
has
brought to you by Headspace? What's that app called?
Which one? The mindfulness app?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Download one of those apps.
Yeah.
Hopefully one that's a sponsor of this podcast.
Sure. Yeah.
Or an advertising partner of Verizon.
Yeah, we're unsullied as of right now on the podcast, but you know, Headspace, get us up.
There's
a lot of potential Raptors customers for that app.
Yeah, it's not that serious, Mary. I would not be too worried. The Raptors are different. I know that it's hard to believe now, but you know what they say, it's always darkest before dawn. This inspirational message brought to you by @notJoshHart on Twitter.
Okay.
What do you have a different... It's not that deep.
It's not that deep, but at the same time, Sunday morning I woke up and the first thing I thought about was zero.
Zero.
Yeah, and I'm like...
No holes, no Stanley Yelnats.
Oh, jeez. It was hard. It was actually hard, but... I mean, in terms of just, like, how to distract yourself, I think the number one thing is just don't go on Twitter.
Never go on Twitter.
And, like, not just Twitter.
Uninstall
like
Twitter.
Reddit, like, wherever you're
Real
going.
Real GM.
Definitely don't go on Real GM after that. you know, like, it's just, you're going to, you don't want that negativity reminded to you. You know, you got other things to do. Realistically, you got better things to do.
Don't watch Kevin Hart's stand-up special on Netflix unless he's a sponsor in that case.
Okay.
But, yeah, you don't want to see a stand-up comedian, a professional in a different industry, someone who's blocked your star point guard. Don't watch his stand-up special. You know, things will, you'll feel better tomorrow night after the Raptors should win. And if they don't, it's that, then it'll be, you know, kind of bad, but don't be too worried.
This one from the Toronto Sports Guy. Start Ibaka or Gasol? You texted me about this before the series.
I think I really like what Ibaka can do. I think he plays with a bit more of a green light than Marc Gasol will sometimes. Marc Gasol
100% he does.
Yeah, Marc Gasol is looking to make another pass and not all the time. And we saw it on Saturday. That's not always the best move. I really think that Marc Gasol can keep up with Nick Vucevic running up and down the court and Aaron Gordon to take a few moments off of Kawhi. That's a tough defensive assignment for Kawhi that I think that Ibaka can handle every once in a while.
Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just Gordon and tough in the sense that he's like physical and he's pretty active too.
Yeah, and I think
so you just got to track him all the time.
Every once in a while, you'll see the Magic run a set similar to the one that Marcus Morris and Al Horford run in Boston on the weak side. They'll screen for one another. That's a tough... I don't really like looking at Marc Gasol in that defensive matchup. Okay. So, Serge Ibaka, like, I don't know if you want to start him, but I think he has a real place in this series.
Mm.
The trend over the last month to see Marc Gasol take over as the full-time center, you know, it makes sense. He's a better fit at center. But for moments in the series, I think that Serge Ibaka can play great, great basketball. Are you out on seeing Serge? I don't want to see a change in the starting lineup, but...
You're not changing your starting lineup.
More minutes against
right now.
The Magic starters.
I think... I just think, first off, it's going to be real awkward to get Ibaka a lot of minutes in the series because I think they really want to... Nick Nurse really wants to make sure that Gasol is out there whenever Vucevic is out there, and Vuce is going to play a ton of minutes because he is way more important to the Magic than either Gasol or Ibaka are to the Raptors, and they don't really have, like... Like, Ken Burch is solid as an energy guy, but, like, they need Vuce's offense and stuff, so... I think just because of that, I think, you know, Mark's going to play more minutes. I don't know. I think what you can experiment with is, like, you know, if you're going to put Ibaka on the floor, like, you got to feature him in the offense just a little bit more. Like, there were stretches where it was like, Fred will see Ibaka, and he's like, I'll just go for my own shot here. Yeah. And it's like, no. You got to get the ball to Ibaka in that
Ibaka
sense.
Whiffed on, like, four screens in a row.
That was painful. But also, they try to run four screens so they can get Danny Green open for a pick and roll. I'm like, that's not a good idea.
That's not good.
Just
it's
give
not
it
good
to
basketball.
Serge for the mid-range jumper and then let him shoot it.
And he can shoot.
He didn't get a single one of those.
A few weeks ago, there was that Eric Spoelstra quote about how the Raptors have a lot of guys who don't get seasick at the end of the shot clock.
Yeah.
Serge Ibaka will let that mid-range jumper fly no matter what.
Serge Ibaka hit a game winner in Washington randomly.
Exactly. So I would like to see Serge Ibaka shoot the basketball more.
Yeah.
I would also like to see Mark shoot the basketball more. But...
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, if you run pick and roll against this team, especially if Vucevic is out there, they're not going to get out to the shooters.
Yeah.
Because they're going to leave the shooters open in order to protect the rim.
Yeah. Because they don't really have, like, Aaron Gordon, he hasn't shown... I guess he got 10 rebounds on Saturday, but he didn't seem to be a menace on the boards in the way that you'd expect for a guy with his athleticism. So they've schemed him out pretty well.
This one from Anna is pretty smart. What might the Magic do differently in Game 2 to either anticipate changes that they expect the Raptors to make or to build on their Game 1 performance? So I think, look, if you're the Magic, right? Steve Clifford, by the way, has done a great job coaching this team. And, you know, he said... on Sunday during the Magic's practice or whatever, they were like, you know what? Like, we got lucky to win that game.
For sure.
We got to improve on certain areas. If we play that same game over again, we're not going to keep winning, which is a great thing to say as a coach, right? Like, especially if you're the underdog, you want to keep that pressure on that team, and I think they have the right mindset. But, I mean, he's right, though. If you look at the way they played, Aaron Gordon, 3 of 10, right? A lot of that is him going against Kawhi, so he's not going to score much, right? But 3 of 10 for 10 points, not great. Really, he even got lucky to get to 10 points because of some of the threes he hit. You know, Isaac, 11 points, 5 of 10. That's about where you would expect Isaac. Vucevic, though, 3 of 14. And Fournier, 7 of 18. And Terrence Ross, 2 of 11. Those three guys right there, I feel like they're definitely going to try to do a couple more things to free those guys up. In terms of Ross, I think the Raptors are going to keep Ross under wraps by continuing to trap him.
They're doing a good job, yeah.
Yeah, and which I think that's smart, really. Yeah. Like, you'll take your chances with Michael Carter-Williams. It sucks that he hit two threes, but the guy really can't shoot.
Do you think he's visiting, like, a rhinoplasty in Yorkville today?
Why, because he got his nose broken?
Was it broken?
Apparently, he got, like, yeah, some kind of thing. But he's still going to play, but he might wear a mask or something.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rookie of the year, 2014?
2014, yeah.
Shout out to him.
Because he got like a near quadruple double against the Heat in like game one.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, look at him. He got 8 steals when basically Chris Bosh was still hungover from winning the championship. And yeah, it did not end up well for him. But no, I mean, I think like for them, Fournier, I think they probably want to get Fournier a couple more open shots.
Yeah,
and he's that dynamic enough player where, you know, he could do enough things to get himself open, and he can capitalize in the mid-range. He can kind of score a little bit in transition. Like, basically, you take out those, like, random transition buckets.
Like, for Danny Green and creating his own transition offense. Him and DJ Augustine, really. I think one of the things that Magic will have to do is the Raptors got a lot of good looks from deep. Mm-hmm. Danny Green, Kyle Lowry, even his. Yeah, I know he missed them all, but
no,
he got
good looks.
Good looks.
Yeah.
I think that their guards are going to try to go over a lot of the screens that they didn't on Saturday.
Okay.
Which I think we'll play it to the benefit of the Raptors, that those little passing lanes mm-hmm. that that Kyle's done a great job all of his career on finding a rolling big are going to be opened up. And that's where I think the offense will really come through. But I think the Magic have to close out on shooters.
Yeah, they can't expect the Raptors to continually
shoot this
like 30%.
And I think you assume that the Raptors are going to have the yips in game one, so you leave their shooters open. And it seems to have worked out pretty well because the Raptors have lost home court.
I like this, you know. Game one just serves to keep everyone humble. Because people are like, oh, man, I expect a sweep. I'm like, Raptors aren't sweeping anybody. Anybody. Not maybe the Pistons this year with Blake Griffin over the series.
Yeah, how bad? He's like.
Dude, I mean Dwayne Casey grinded Blake Griffin to a nub.
So he could call into Sid Sixero and say that, you know, I still deserve the job. Nick Nurse.
It's like, look at Nick Nurse.
Look at Nick Nurse.
Down 2-1 in the series to Orlando. I would never do that.
Never
lost. I would just get swept. Yeah. I don't know. I could definitely see the Magic doing a couple more things offensively just to, again, like I think if they can get their shooters going, like I think that's what game one like showed, right? Like the Raptors can effectively shut off the paint and stuff, but if they can get some shooters going, that's going to create enough variance where they're not better than the Raptors, so they need to create high variance opportunities. And I think the shooters, guys like Fournier, you know, Ross to a lesser extent, but like, you know, Augustine and stuff like that, those guys, if they get going, then I think that's where the Raptors are why I should
be
in
trouble.
Do you
think DJ Augustine has another 25-ish point performance in him? Because like Vucevic didn't get going enough.
No.
And I think DJ Augustine is the number one prospect to lose. I mean, he led the team in scoring. But I think beyond that, he's going to lose opportunity the most to Vooch if he's having a good game.
Yeah.
Because they have to get Fournier going.
Yeah, and I think they want to get Vooch going a little bit too. Nick Nurse, by the way, let it slip on Sunday that he was like, yeah, you know, we had Vucevic rattled. And I'm like, bro, as the coach of the Raptors losing game one, don't say the opposing team was rattled in any way, okay? Because the only team that was rattled was the Raptors. But, yeah, I mean, I think, look, Augustine is a pretty good shooter. Like, and he's, like you know, he's quick. He can – I don't think he'll score as efficiently, like, in the lane as he did.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, he can shoot. Like, if you give him open room, he can shoot. Like, he hit, like, 2 contested threes, but, you know, the Raptors just got to make sure he doesn't get open. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is this? From Ahmad, do you think Masai should have pulled the trigger on a Michael Conley trade when he had the chance?
No, man. I don't know. Michael Conley, I don't know what he has left. Like, a lot of injury.
Are we calling him Michael Conley now, by the way?
Yeah, Michael Conley.
That's so formal.
He's a grown man.
I guess. Once you're over 30, I guess you can't be Mike anymore.
Yeah. I like Mike Conley. I think it's fun to think about today. Yeah, like imagine if, you know, it was Kyle Lowry and JV sitting next to each other while Michael Conley and Marcus Hall were out there. I don't know.
Do you think if the Raptors traded Kyle the trade deadline, he would come back in game one like JV?
No, he'd
100% come back. 100% no. 100% no, man. No. Kyle's on a golf course. He's probably at Augusta.
Whoa. speaking of, shout out to Tiger.
Yeah, yeah.
Very appropriate, Asian and a black man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, of course. When he hugged his Asian mom, I'm like, oh yeah.
We're both wearing red shirts, and you'll never know if that's true or not. But we're both wearing red Nike mock necks in honor of Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods fashion.
Tiger Woods fashion.
Not swaggy, but also kind of swaggy.
Top three Blasian ever, probably.
How many Blasians are there to
be on this list?
Yeah, but I mean, come on, Tiger's
she's
above Janae.
She's top two. Okay, she's not two.
No, but let's objectively, Tiger's 100% the top Blasian ever. What are you talking about?
Janae Aiko has a diss track for Big Sean coming out.
Okay, I would like to see it, but also it's gonna take a lot to go overcome Tiger.
All right,
Sonia Sohn?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure we're forgetting.
We're missing
some
very obvious ones, I think. But
no one in the NBA.
Alonzo Trier. Jordan Clarkson, Nate Robinson. I have a database.
Nate Robinson?
I keep this. I have like a 21andMe database.
Nate Robinson?
Nate Robinson is 1/8 Filipino. Yeah. This came out like 7 years ago.
Salute.
And people didn't pick up on it, which is crazy.
Salute to Nate Robinson.
Yeah,
is he in the big three again this offseason?
Probably.
Where did this podcast go?
Yeah.
What was the question again?
Should they pull the trigger on a Conley for Lowry?
Come on,
I mean,
man.
Like, I don't know, man.
Off season's right around the corner.
Why would Memphis even take that?
Well,
we would have to give up picks and stuff, right? Because like,
what does Mike Conley make as much as Kyle does?
Yeah, basically.
Then yeah, I don't see the point.
Yeah,
Kyle Lowry gave you pretty much the season, like a whole season.
I would say at this point in their careers, Conley is a better player.
Agreed, but you have to sign Conley again. I think when Kyle's contract's up.
Yeah, I mean, also like, you know. You'd have to change a lot. You can't just move your point guard.
No,
and then, like, what is the identity of the Raptors? It's just here's this amalgamation of the Grizzlies and Spurs. You know, like, it wouldn't it be cool if these two teams played, like, we had this roster in 2016? You know,
it'd be
weird. So
2015, this roster, unstoppable.
What is this? TTC made me do it. I'm only reading this because that's a great Twitter name.
It can handle.
Does Nurse need to make adjustments, or is Kawhi playing more than 33 minutes and Kyle scoring more than 0 points enough? I tend to think the latter, and that we lost the game because of performance errors, not because of a bad game plan. But I'm curious to hear your take. I think, actually, it's like as much as you want to adjust between games, and there's always things to adjust between games, like I think, A, the defensive game plan worked pretty well, right? Like, even Augustine, like, Augustine had 19.5. And then they put Danny Green on him, and he had, like, 6 more points the rest of the way. Like, I'm kind of okay with that. You know, I don't think you have to change the game plan too much. I do think offensively there's a couple more things you can do. Like, I think you should definitely run. Like, I just don't think they have an answer for Kawhi and Mark running pick and roll together.
No.
And you got Gasol at the three-point line. You got Kawhi attacking Vucevic. You know, like, there's just not an easy solution to that. And I think, you know, Kyle can maybe take a couple mid-range shots to get himself going. But, like, for the most part, they have the right idea. It's not like the idea they had was completely terrible. Like, that's the thing. The Raptors lost a very close game in which, like, a couple of breaks happened for the Magic, and that happens, right? And you want to make the margins a little bit wider, but this isn't the case like the Sixers, who actually just straight up got beat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or
like, this is a coin toss game.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the Nuggets.
I would like to see Nick Nurse to be a little bit more active. I remember tweeting, like, something like, if Nick Nurse awake, like, there was that run where the Magic sort of almost blew the game wide open in the second and third quarter, where I think Nick Nurse was like sitting down and like, how are you like, come on, get your defense closing out on these guys. I'd like to see a more active Nick Nurse calling timeouts, especially in the fourth quarter when Kawhi Leonard hasn't made it into the game and you cross the 8-minute mark.
That was weird. I thought Kawhi was going to sit maybe 3 minutes at most. He ended up sitting from the 2-minute mark of the third quarter to the 6-minute mark of the fourth quarter.
So
what are you doing?
I'd like to see Nick Nurse sort of impose his will on the game a bit more. I think he played a very relaxed game, and you know, yeah, like Steve Clifford's a few years older than him, and I feel like I saw him on his feet more than Nick Nurse. I just like a more intense demeanor from him.
Yeah, and I thought
it's playoffs. You know?
It is playoffs. Yeah, yeah. I mean, look,
that was a good thing about Nick. Like Dwayne Casey would be like down here at the check-in table from tip off.
I do miss Dwayne Casey on the sidelines playing defense as the sixth defender.
Yeah, so
like that was super endearing. And then his voice would be, every time he did that, his voice was gone in the postgame.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he sounded like Doc Rivers.
Yeah. Oh man, the Doc. look at these questions. Some of these questions are not great. As much as I appreciate them sending it in, by the way.
Of course, send all your questions in to @William_Lou on Twitter.
This one from Louise. What can they do to get Ibaka going? And is the Ibaka/Gasol pairing a good option in this series? Thank you. It's not great, but you got to do it. Like, I don't think it's great against any series. Like, when did the Ibaka-Gasol...
Never. The XL lineup never worked.
It never works, man.
It lasted a pretty decent amount of time in game one. There was, like, in the second quarter, the end of the first quarter, they left them out there. And there was, like, two commercial breaks where they were all out there. I'm like, I mean, they haven't lost a game here, so how bad can it be?
It's one of those lineups, though. You're definitely just buying time.
But I think one of the things that the Raptors can do really well in this series is put smart players on the court in a way that I don't think the Magic can necessarily. So if you have guys like Serge Ibaka and Marcus, they're not likely to, you know, fuck up.
Well, here's the thing, though. I agree with you, but also the Raptors smart players ended up making some dumb mistakes, right? Like, Danny made some
dumb
passes.
How did
dumb
he get picked? Like,
defensive decisions. Yeah. You know,
Serge Ibaka was also kind of dumb on defense. He closed out on Terrence Ross a couple times. Like, you don't this isn't your assignment.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Ken Birch got a couple of layups and stuff. I'm happy for Ken Birch.
Are you?
He's very cut in real life.
Oh,
this is the kind of insight that you get when I go to the games. Is I tell you how cut Ken Burch is. Now that guy
he's very vascular.
Yeah, his vascularity is on point.
It's on point.
No, I mean, how do we get Ibaka going? Like, yeah, just run a couple plays for Ibaka. Ibaka is such an easy guy to run plays for.
Exactly.
Because he's just gonna catch the ball and then shoot that ball. So, like, you know, I think the Magic, like, first off, I would like to see Ibaka get a couple of threes, even though it's not necessarily the most efficient shot. I just want to see if he makes a couple, how that affects the Magic's defense.
For sure.
And if that frees up a defender for Kyle to get to the rim, you know what I mean? Like, create problems, right? Like, the way the Magic, I said it earlier in the podcast, but the Magic took the shots the Raptors gave them, and they made them, and then they started to make the Raptors adjust. And I think that's just how you got to do. Like, it's not the most efficient thing to do, but, you know, that's the shot that they're giving you. So take that shot and see if they change their defense.
Do you think that there's, like, a crazy adjustment that can happen in this? Like, do you think, you know, I don't know.
What is a crazy adjustment? Like, short of starting Tyler Hansbrough again.
I'm benching Lowry for Fred and taking Jeremy Lin off ice.
Yeah, by the way, the main consequence of Kyle Lowry scoring nothing was Jeremy Lin Hive back in full effect, demanding that Jeremy Lin would have swung this game.
I rate it. And he probably would have.
No, he wouldn't have.
He would have scored. No, I agree.
I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's true.
I don't know.
If all he took was threes, I don't think we'd be sitting much better. Yeah, I don't think the Raptors need to do much to win game two or game three or game four or game five.
They don't need to make major adjustments, I don't think. I think they just need to tweak a couple things. Again, it's not like the Raptors were beat. Like, if you get beat, then you got to change
what you're doing.
Like, they got to be sharper. They got to be crisper. Like, how many just straight up simple errors of, like, here's Ibaka trying to post up, and then, like, somebody will try to throw him an entry pass, and then, like, they'll get picked off. Like, at the end of the first quarter, Pascal has Terrence Ross on him. And then Fred VanVleet, instead of floating it to his, towards the baseline, he floats it to his near hand, and then Terrence jumps and then picks off the pass and goes in for, like, a layup. I mean, like, you know, those are the things where you're like, come on.
Did
like,
the Raptors get anything in transition? It didn't seem like...
There was, like, a Fred layup.
They ever turned the ball over and just booked it down the court. It just seemed like...
They got that Danny three before half. But, that, like, you're right. Yeah. There's very select possessions that they got in transition. If anything, they got, like, semi-transition. But even those, they weren't... I mean, the Magic did a good job of getting back. Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll take one more. From... K-O-E-N. Is that Cohen or Kean?
Cohen? I don't know.
Cohen? Okay. I never thought I'd ask this, but do we miss DeLon? He could drive to the basket, create movement, has length as a defender.
DeLon is a NBA player who can do things that this team could use. Like, this team doesn't have enough ball handler, playmaker types.
I could see some games where DeLon would get in ahead of Norm.
Yeah, and you make that decision, and the Raptors made the right one. That trade was a good idea. You weren't bringing DeLon back next season. It makes sense. You know, I think... You read one of my questions on last week's podcast, like, which of the extended run Raptors do you want to see back? I think you answered DeLon. My answer would maybe be like Lou Williams, but those two guys, guards who can move the ball and who can shoot and who can, you know, just be out there and you trust? Yeah, of course. I mean, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But do I think that this roster would be better with him on it? And
it depends who you're taking out.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, he's better than Jeremy, for example.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but that's a low bar, you know?
How much three guard? The Raptors played a lot of, like, three-point guards in the last two runs a lot.
Yeah, and I just don't quite like it when it's Fred and Kyle, just because you're giving up so much size.
Yeah.
But
when it was DeLon, you could at least...
Yeah, with DeLon, you could at least, like, you know... I mean, there were some times where DeLon played up to his size. Generally speaking, I felt like he was a little bit timid. But I think in this series, like, one thing Fred has really struggled with is, like, can he pass back to either the screener? Like, if he's getting trapped on the baseline or whatever after the pick and roll, and, like, they usually try to funnel stuff to the sideline or whatever, like, can he pass effectively back to Ibaka in that spot where Ibaka would be open? Yeah. Or can he even make the skip pass across to the opposite wing to, like, get that three off? And it's like, you know, he's 5'11". He's not really going to do that. He's probably going to drive into the lane and then try to kick out to the corner instead. And those are the kind of passes where DeLon might, because he's, like, 6'6", have a better angle of making those passes. But I don't know.
Do you miss DeLon?
I miss the way he played the game.
Do you think it would make sense to have him on this roster? You agree. Like, it wouldn't be better with him.
No, I don't. Yeah, I mean, if he came for free, of course, I would love to have DeLon. But if
he was pulling a, what's his name? Who's playing? RJ Barrett? Like, who's hanging out with the Celtics?
Yeah.
RJ Hunter.
Andre Hunter, yeah. He's a good shooter.
That one great college game where his dad fell. Is that guy?
I don't know. I don't watch any college
basketball in Florida.
Honestly, the NCAA, like, you know, tournament game was being played, and I was like, I could stay to watch 2 minutes, or I can catch the King Streetcar, and I'm like, I'm gonna hop on that King Streetcar. I don't care.
I guess then we'll wrap with, like, what do you think for this series going forward? Is it just
Raps in six, baby?
Raps in six. I agree.
Yeah.
The Raptors, have they closed out a series at home since the Miami series in 2016?
No.
So
they've been closed out at home, though. Again, we went to that.
Yeah, we did.
Bad decision, financial decision on our part to go see the Raptors get beat.
But we bought them when it was like, you know, you guys are all Raptors fans. Like, the tickets come out a week before the series starts. Like, buy your round two tickets today. You're like, well, if I don't buy them now, I'm going to be on StubHub. Shout out to the sponsor.
Yeah.
And spending three times as much, so we'll get them now. And then it was like game three. We were like, so are we ready?
And there's no way we could have sold those tickets, too.
Yeah, nobody wanted them.
Nobody wanted those.
But I remember taking a bet with a friend at work that recouped like half of my ticket cost back. So
wow, someone was actually willing to bet on the Raptors down 3-0 to the Cavs.
Yeah, to the LeBron James-led Cavaliers.
I think we got outscored in that series, like, 90-30.
It was like the Monstars.
It was so one-sided.
Yeah.
So,
Raps in six. I want them to close out at home, so Raps in five, but I agree with you. Most likely is Raps in six.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Raps in five. It's possible, but like I said in the preview, I was like, this, first off, it's going to be a tougher series than most people anticipate, right? And also, like, do you know... It's the Raptors, like, for real. Like, it's a weird thing, but it is kind of it's the Raptors, you know. Like, we're kind of a front running type of team. Sure. Once the games get a little bit tight, like the arena gets tight, like the whole building gets tight. And
I think,
like,
the Raptors in a close game on the road are
I would rather have that.
Yeah,
I would rather have that.
We were both at the Raptors Heat game, their last home game of the season. Yeah. They were great down the stretch. What?
I know, but there was, like, no stakes on the line. Yeah. It was like, who cares? Like, the worst, it was like, okay, yeah, so the Raptors lose to the Heat, Dwayne Wade's career still alive. Like, is that the worst thing in the world, you know?
Yeah. Man, can you imagine that Heat team getting destroyed by Giannis?
I'm actually kind of, like, low-key enjoying the Pistons getting destroyed. Like, by the way, like, if you look at the Bucks last year, Thon Maker's not even cracking the playoff rotation.
Yeah.
This year, he's starting against the Bucks in round one.
Yeah, man.
I mean, obviously, his injuries
to
Blake.
Where's Tony Snell?
Still with the Bucks.
That guy, Raptor killer.
I hate that whole team is a Raptor killer.
I liked seeing it when it was Tony Snell because it made no sense. Like when Thon McCurr, like, you know, really hurt the Raptors, like, damn it, this guy must be so mad at some, you know, young woman from Windsor, Ontario who rejected him. But Tony Snell, out of nowhere. Remember when Tony Snell had cornrows? That was
him and Kawhi,
Him and Kawhi, only guys left.
The silent killers.
The silent killers.
from San Diego.
We didn't talk about how hungry are you. We got to wrap this podcast.
Let's talk about how hungry are you quickly.
It was
it was a crazy thing to eat. I mean, all the things are a little bit wild, although to be honest, I'm not judgmental about things that you're eating. Like, it's fine. Like, you know, if you want to eat durian and you want to smell it, that's fine.
Serge boiled it and put it on a pizza.
He just boiled it and he didn't do
he didn't do anything to it.
He just served it like whole.
Well, who was the years ago? I remember tweeting like Raptors like heritage moments, and it was the Pacers series. Yeah,
Solomon Hill had his
fingertip on the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
That one when Kawhi Leonard Game ate five. Two bites of, you know.
Yeah. No, you can say he ate two bites of cow penis
on camera. Heritage moment. And that and the discovery of penicillin, two most important things that ever happened in Toronto. Penicillin, no, they discovered insulin in Toronto.
Insulin, that's right, yeah.
But, yeah, it was great. It's done for the...
It's done for the season. There's more plans ahead. I might have advised Serge on one other thing he could potentially try
in
season
meat?
3. Because, you know, like...
Have you done, like, blood and...
That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, first off, if you want to do some creepy stuff, you know, the creepiest in the eye of the beholder, whatever. But like,
we don't want to yuck your yum.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, blood tofu is very common.
All right.
I'm telling you, it's very, very common. So that's one option he can go with. The one I suggested to him is snake liquor.
Oh my god.
So it's like a jar, and it's like grain alcohol that's like 70%, then there's like a snake in there.
Is this like from China?
Yeah, yeah. And then
Chinese moonshine with a snake.
You like, yeah, yeah. You keep it for like 30 years, and like it's just there. There's something they have a scorpion as well.
Who do you think that Serge Ibaka wants to drink with?
The Raptors?
Yeah, or in the NBA? Doesn't he have like just guys from the league on in his off season?
Yeah, I mean he's got to get those Thunder guys on.
Yeah, he should get what's his face? Nick Collison, not Nick Collison. The big white guy who got his number tied.
Yeah,
he could be on there. He could get.
He really got his number retired, huh?
Let me tell you, if you're in Oklahoma City and you are a 6'11",
yeah. What's his face? Who's that guy that got Mitch something?
Mitch who?
They picked a guy in the first round, and then he's out of the NBA now.
And he's just like selling insurance in Tulsa.
Probably, man. I'm trying to say Mitch McConnell, but that's definitely not Mitch McConnell.
No, yeah, Mitch McConnell. I don't think he can jump.
Okay, hold on, Mitch OKC. See what this gives me. Mitch McGarry. That's right. See, that sounds like an OKC player.
That sounds like an OKC player. Man, NBA cities, and they're like, you know, sort of silent quotas for white Americans really does make me laugh.
Oh, the Jazz?
The Indianapolis Pacers.
The Boston Celtics?
Oof, the Boston Celtics. Though, you
but,
know,
you know, every team has a little bit of a strange quota. You know, the Raptors used
the Raptors
to have that European
have to
quota.
Have...
Like, we made Spain and Italian jerseys, which is just crazy.
And now it's all Africans, and it's great.
Yeah, because Masai's here. Yeah. It's great.
I wonder if the Miami Heat will ever have, like, a bunch of Latin Americans and Cubans.
They didn't. Yeah, and they had their hearts broken by J.J. Barea, of all people. Yeah. You know? So that must have hurt double, but...
That must have hurt.
Josh.
Will, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming through, man.
It was a lot of fun.
I feel better now. This is the whole point. It's not even I want to do a podcast so much as I just wanted to feel better.
Yeah, and I feel better too. I feel like, you know, there's still no team I'd rather cheer for than the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, you're already at that point.
There's no team that like
that's never been a question for me. All right,
it's like
the Raptors get swept this year. Next year, I'm coming back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Telling them they're going to the finals. I don't care.
The Raptors are going to the finals, whether or not Kawhi Leonard stays next season.
Okay, all right.
Please stay, Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi, please stay. You're clearly the best player on this team.
Yeah, it's not even really that. Debate. Yeah, it's been great. Really proud. Yeah, again, really proud of you. You know, I've known you since we were like 15. It's incredible to see you here, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Interviewing, you know, Duolingo. No, just kidding. Serge Ibaka, you're an original man, one of my favorite Raptors.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really great to see you here. Really happy to, you know, get to hang out with you and talk to your audience of middle-aged dudes who DM you when we hang out saying, hey, did I see you at that bar?
That was crazy.
Hey, if you're listening.
Don't pull up on me ever. At a ramen spot, don't pull up on me, man. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean.
I appreciate it, but that's weird.
Appreciate the love. But yeah, it's great to see you here. I hope to be invited back sometime soon, and we'll continue to slander.
Somebody.
Somebody. Always slander.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, that does it for the podcast. As always, please support the show if you want to by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to Raptors Over Everything. And I'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to do a show with Vivek just real quickly on what to look out for in game two. And there will be the reaction podcast after every game and stuff like that. So let's just hope the Raptors pull through, because, you know, it would make us feel a lot better in life.
It'd make me feel a lot better.
Yeah. All right. Peace.
Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.